For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
I wasn't really looking for anything serious when I matched with this girl, who I'll refer to as Sophia to keep things anonymous. It was one of those late-night swiping sessions where you're half-watching TV and half-scrolling through profiles. But there was something about her that caught my eye. Maybe it was her smile or the way her eyes seemed to light up in every picture. Her bio was simple, almost cryptic, just a girl who loves good coffee and bad movies. We started chatting, and I quickly found myself intrigued by her. She was funny, a little sarcastic, and we shared a lot of the same interests. We talked about everything. Favorite books, our most embarrassing moments, even what we'd do in a zombie apocalypse. There was an easy chemistry between us that I hadn't felt in a long time. After a week of late-night messages and early morning texts, we decided to meet up. It wasn't a big deal, just coffee at a cafe downtown. I liked that it was low-key, no pressure, just two people getting to know each other in person. But then she asked me a question that caught me off guard. Do you believe in fate? I stared at the screen for a moment, my fingers hovering over the keyboard. It wasn't the kind of question you expect in casual conversation, especially not right before meeting someone for the first time. Not really sure, I replied, trying to keep it light. Why do you ask? There was a long pause before she responded. Just curious. I think some people are meant to find each other, no matter what. It was a strange thing to say, but I didn't think too much of it at the time. I figured she was just being philosophical, maybe even a little romantic. I shrugged it off and went to bed, excited about our date the next day. But looking back, I wish I had paid more attention to that message. The day of our date, I arrived at the cafe a little early. It was a small, cozy place tucked away on a quiet street. Exactly the kind of spot you'd expect someone like Sophia to suggest. I grabbed a table by the window and ordered a coffee, trying to calm the nervous energy buzzing in my chest. I kept checking my phone, half expecting a last-minute cancellation text, but there was nothing. She was supposed to arrive any minute, and I found myself glancing at the door every time someone walked in. After about 10 minutes, the door swung open, and there she was. Sophia looked just like her pictures, maybe even better in person. She had this effortless style, wearing a simple dress with a jean jacket, her hair falling in loose waves around her shoulders. When she spotted me, she smiled, and I felt a rush of relief wash over me. "Sorry I'm late," she said as she sat down. Parking was a nightmare. "No worries," I replied, smiling back. "I just got here too." We settled into easy conversation, just like we had online. There were no awkward pauses, no strained silences, just two people enjoying each other's company. We talked about everything from work to our favorite movies, and before I knew it, an hour had flown by. At one point, she leaned in, her voice lowering conspiratorially. "So what do you think? Was it fate that brought us together?" I laughed, remembering our conversation from the night before. "Maybe," I said, playing along. "Or maybe it was just the algorithm." She grinned, but there was something in her eyes, something that made me feel like she knew more than she was letting on. It was just a flicker, a brief moment, but it unsettled me. As our date came to an end, we made plans to meet up again. She suggested dinner at a restaurant she knew, and I eagerly agreed. She gave me the address, and we said our goodbyes, both of us leaving with a smile. But as I walked back to my car, I couldn't shake the feeling that something was off. It was just a small, nagging sensation in the back of my mind, but it was there, like a pebble in my shoe that I couldn't ignore. I pushed it aside, telling myself I was just overthinking things. Sophia was great, and I was looking forward to seeing her again, but that uneasy feeling lingered, no matter how hard I tried to brush it off. The day of our second date, I was in a good mood. Work had gone smoothly, and I was looking forward to seeing Sophia again. I left the office a little early, wanting to make sure I had plenty of time to get to the restaurant. The address she had given me was in a part of town I wasn't familiar with, but I didn't think much of it. I figured it was just one of those hidden gems that only locals knew about. But as I drove, the neighborhoods became less and less familiar. The further I went, the more rundown everything became, until I was driving through an area that felt completely abandoned. I checked the GPS again, thinking I must have taken a wrong turn somewhere. But no. The address Sophia had given me was just a few blocks away. I started to feel that same unease from before, stronger now, gnawing at my gut.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
I thought about turning around, texting her to ask if we could meet somewhere else, but I didn't want to seem paranoid. After all, she had suggested this place. Maybe it was one of those dive bars with great food, the kind you'd never find unless someone told you about it. But when I finally reached the address, my heart sank. The restaurant was nothing but an empty lot. I parked the car and got out, staring at the vacant space in front of me. Weeds had overtaken what must have once been a building, and broken glass littered the ground. There was no sign of a restaurant, no sign of anything. I checked my phone, hoping I had made a mistake, but the address was correct. I tried calling Sophia, but the call went straight to voicemail. I sent her a text asking where she was, but there was no response. I stood there for a few minutes, waiting, hoping she would call back or show up, but the street remained empty, silent except for the distant hum of traffic. The uneasy feeling in my gut was now full-blown anxiety. After about 20 minutes, I decided to leave. Something was seriously wrong, and I wasn't going to stand around waiting to find out what. I got back in my car and drove away, my mind racing with all the possibilities. Maybe she had given me the wrong address by mistake, or maybe it was a prank. But no matter how I tried to rationalize it, none of it made sense. As I drove back into more familiar parts of town, I couldn't shake the feeling that I had been set up. I kept glancing in my rearview mirror, half expecting to see someone following me, but the road behind me was clear. When I got home, I tried calling Sophia again, but it went straight to voicemail, just like before. I sent a few more texts asking if everything was okay, but hours went by with no response. That night, I barely slept. I kept my phone by my side, hoping she would call or text back, but there was nothing. The next morning, I tried calling again, but the line was dead. Her number had been disconnected. I felt a cold wave of dread wash over me as I realized that Sophia had completely vanished. No phone number, no social media, nothing. It was like she had never existed. I spent the next few days trying to track her down. I searched for her on every social media platform, called every number I could find, but there was no trace of her. It was as if she had been erased from existence. That's when I started to dig deeper. I couldn't let it go. The whole situation was gnawing at me, and I needed to find out what had happened to Sophia. I started asking around, talking to people who lived in the area where the restaurant was supposed to be, hoping someone had seen or heard something. Most people just shrugged, telling me they didn't know anything about a restaurant ever being there. But then I found an older man who had lived in the neighborhood for decades. When I mentioned the address, his expression changed, his eyes narrowing with suspicion. "That place?" he said, shaking his head. "That lot's been empty for years. Used to be a building there, but it burned down about 15 years ago. No one's built anything there since." I felt a chill run down my spine. "Do you know what happened?" I asked. The man hesitated, then sighed. "It was a fire. Nobody knows how it started, but a lot of people died. Families, kids. It was a real tragedy. The place has been abandoned ever since. Some say it's cursed." I thanked him and walked away, my mind spinning. A fire? A cursed lot? It sounded like something out of a horror movie, but I couldn't shake the feeling that there was more to it than that. I went home and did some research, digging through old news articles and records. It didn't take long to find what I was looking for. There had indeed been a fire, and it had claimed the lives of several people. One of the victims was a young woman named Sophia. Same name, same description as the girl I had met. The article included a photograph of her, and my heart nearly stopped when I saw it. It was her. The same girl I had met at the cafe, the same girl I had been talking to for weeks. But that was impossible. She had died years ago, long before dating apps even existed. I stared at the screen, my mind reeling. Had I been talking to a ghost? Was that why she had asked me about fate, about whether I believed in destiny? The more I thought about it, the more everything started to make a twisted kind of sense. The strange questions, the empty lot, the way she had vanished without a trace, it was all connected. But the realization that I had been communicating with someone who was no longer alive didn't bring me any comfort. If anything, it only deepened the fear that had been growing inside me. I couldn't sleep that night. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw her face, that smile, those eyes that seemed to look right through me. I kept hearing her voice asking me about fate, about whether we were meant to find each other. The next morning, I deleted the dating app, blocked her number, and tried to put it all behind me. But no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't shake the feeling that she was still out there, somewhere, waiting for me. A few weeks went by, and I slowly started to move on. I tried to convince myself that it had all been some kind of bizarre coincidence, that maybe I had imagined the whole thing. But deep down, I knew that wasn't true. Then, one night, I was out with friends, trying to enjoy a few drinks and forget about everything that had happened. I was starting to feel a little more like myself again, the fear slowly fading into the background. But then, as I was leaving the bar, I saw her, Sophia. She was standing across the street, just out of the glow of the streetlights, her eyes fixed on me. For a moment, I thought I was seeing things, that it was just the beers playing tricks on me. But then she smiled, that same smile that had drawn me in the first time I saw her. I froze, my heart pounding in my chest, a cold wave of fear washing over me. I wanted to run, to get as far away from her as possible, but my feet wouldn't move. She started to walk toward me, slowly, deliberately, her gaze never leaving mine. I could feel the blood draining from my face, my body tensing with terror. And then, just as she reached the edge of the light, she stopped. For a long moment, we just stood there, staring at each other, the world around us fading into nothing. There was no sound, no movement, just the two of us locked in that moment, frozen in time. She smiled again, but this time it was different, darker, more sinister. And then, just as suddenly as she had appeared, she turned and walked away, disappearing into the night. I stood there, shaking, my mind reeling. I wanted to chase after her, to demand answers, but I knew I wouldn't find her. I knew she was gone. I haven't seen Sophia since that night, but I know she's still out there. I can feel it. A lingering presence that haunts my every step. I've stopped using dating apps, stopped trying to meet new people. I can't risk it, not after what happened. Online dating wasn't really my thing, but after my last relationship ended, I figured, why not give it a shot? Friends kept telling me it was the best way to meet new people, especially in the digital age. So, after some convincing, I downloaded Tinder and set up a profile. It was casual at first, swiping left and right, chatting with a few people here and there. Nothing serious. That is until I matched with Isabella. Isabella seemed nice enough. Her profile was filled with pictures of her at the beach, out with friends, even a few candid shots of her laughing. She looked normal. No red flags, nothing that set off any alarms. Her bio was short, something about loving dogs and being a foodie, which seemed pretty standard. We started chatting, and she came across as fun, a bit quirky, but in a good way. After a few days of messaging back and forth, she suggested we meet up. I was a bit hesitant at first. Meeting someone from the internet in real life can be intimidating, but she was persistent, and eventually I agreed. We decided on a casual coffee date at a cafe downtown. Public place, middle of the day, nothing to worry about. When I arrived at the cafe, I was nervous, but more excited than anything. I scanned the room, looking for Isabella. I spotted her almost immediately. She looked just like her pictures, which was a relief. She was sitting at a small table by the window, her dark hair cascading over her shoulders as she sipped her coffee. I took a deep breath, walked over, and introduced myself. She looked up, smiled, and for a moment, everything felt normal. But that feeling didn't last long. As soon as I sat down, I noticed something off about Isabella. At first, it was just little things, like the way she kept looking around the cafe, as if she was expecting someone else to show up. Her eyes darted to the door every time it opened, and she seemed distracted, almost nervous. I tried to make conversation, asking her about her day, her job, her interests. She answered my questions, but her responses were short, almost rehearsed, like she wasn't really listening. Instead, she kept steering the conversation back to me, asking oddly specific questions about my life, where I lived, if I lived alone, what time I usually got home from work. I started to feel uneasy, but I brushed it off, telling myself I was just being paranoid. Maybe she was just shy or nervous. First dates can be awkward, after all. But then she started asking about my apartment. "Do you like where you live?" she asked, her voice suddenly eager, leaning forward as if my answer was incredibly important. "Yeah, it's nice," I replied, trying to keep my tone casual. "It's nothing fancy, just a small place downtown." She nodded, her eyes lighting up with interest. "Do you have roommates?" I hesitated, not sure why she was so interested in my living situation. "No, I live alone," I said, instantly regretting it. Her smile widened. "That must be nice," she said, her tone almost envious. I forced a smile, trying to hide my discomfort. "Yeah, it's quiet," I replied, before quickly changing the subject. But no matter what I tried to talk about, she kept bringing the conversation back to my apartment, my schedule, even asking if I had any pets. By the time the date was over, I was more than ready to leave. I walked her to her car, made some excuse about needing to get home early, and said goodbye. She seemed disappointed, but she didn't push, just smiled and waved as she drove off. As I watched her car disappear down the street, I felt a wave of relief. The date had been strange, sure, but at least it was over. I told myself it was just a one-time thing, that I wouldn't have to see her again if I didn't want to. But deep down, I couldn't shake the feeling that something wasn't right. The next few days were uneventful. I went about my routine, work, gym, home. I didn't hear from Isabella, and I didn't reach out to her either. I figured it was for the best. The date had been awkward, and I wasn't interested in seeing her again. But then things started happening. It began with small things, little disturbances that were easy to dismiss. I'd come home from work and find my front door unlocked, even though I was sure I had locked it before leaving. Or I'd notice that items in my apartment seemed slightly out of place. A book moved from one side of the table to the other, a cup left in the sink that I didn't remember using. At first, I chalked it up to forgetfulness. Maybe I was just tired, stressed from work. But as the days went on, the disturbances became harder to ignore. One night, I came home to find my bedroom window wide open. I always kept it closed and locked, especially since I lived on the ground floor. But there it was, the curtains billowing in the breeze, the lock unlatched. I felt a chill run down my spine as I stared at the open window. Someone had been in my apartment. There was no other explanation. I did a quick check of the apartment, looking for any signs of a break-in, but nothing seemed out of place. No broken glass, no forced locks. It was as if whoever had been there had a key. That night, I barely slept. Every rustle of the wind outside made my heart race. I kept the lights on, my phone clutched in my hand, ready to call the police at the slightest sound, but nothing happened. The next day, I called the landlord and asked if anyone else had access to my apartment. He assured me that I was the only one with a key and that the locks hadn't been changed in years. I asked if he could change them, but he said it would take a few days to get someone out to do it. I felt a pit of dread in my stomach, but I didn't have much of a choice. I told myself I was overreacting, that there was a logical explanation for everything that had been happening, but I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being watched, that someone was waiting for the right moment to strike. And then, a few days later, I found the phone. It was a Friday night, and I had just gotten home from work. I was exhausted, looking forward to a quiet evening of takeout and Netflix. As I was settling in, I heard a strange buzzing noise coming from the hallway. At first, I thought it was my phone, but when I checked, it wasn't. The buzzing continued, a low, persistent hum that seemed to be coming from somewhere nearby. I followed the sound, my heart pounding in my chest, and found myself standing in front of the small door that led to the boiler room. The door was slightly ajar, the buzzing louder now, more insistent. I hesitated for a moment, a sense of dread settling over me, but I couldn't ignore it. I pushed the door open and stepped inside, the cold, musty air wrapping around me. The buzzing was louder now, echoing off the concrete walls. I shone my phone's flashlight around the room, trying to locate the source of the sound. That's when I saw it, a small black smartphone wedged between two pipes in the corner of the room. The screen was lit up, the source of the buzzing, a notification flashing on the screen. I reached out with trembling hands and picked it up. The phone was locked, but the notification was still visible, a message from an unknown number. "Why aren't you answering me?" My blood ran cold as I stared at the screen. This wasn't my phone. I didn't know whose it was or how it had ended up in my boiler room, but the implications were terrifying. Someone had been in my apartment, and they had left their phone behind. My mind raced as I tried to piece together what was happening. I thought back to the strange occurrences, the unlocked door, the open window, the moved items. It all made sense now. Someone had been inside my apartment. And then it hit me. Isabella. The questions she had asked on our date, the way she had seemed so interested in my apartment, in whether I lived alone, it had all been an act, a way to get close to me, to learn everything she could before making her move. I dropped the phone, my hands shaking, and stumbled out of the boiler room. I had to get out of there, had to call the police, had to do something. But as I reached for my phone, I heard a noise, a soft, creaking sound, like a door slowly opening. I froze, my breath catching in my throat. The sound was coming from the hallway, just outside my bedroom door. Slowly I turned, my heart pounding in my ears. The door to my bedroom was ajar, just like the boiler room door had been. And in the dim light of the hallway, I could see a shadow, a tall, slender figure standing just inside the doorway. It was her. For a moment, neither of us moved. The only sound was the soft buzzing of the phone still lying on the floor in the boiler room. Isabella stood in the doorway. I could see her eyes, wide and unblinking, staring at me with an intensity that made my blood run cold. She took a step forward, and I instinctively backed away, my heart racing. My mind was screaming at me to run, to get out of there, but I was frozen in place, paralyzed by fear. "Why did you disappear?" she whispered, her voice soft and eerily calm. I didn't respond. I couldn't. My throat had closed up, my breath coming in short, panicked gasps. "Why did you disappear?" she repeated, her voice growing louder as she took another step forward. I forced myself to move, stumbling backward into the living room. I needed to call for help, but she was blocking the way. The door was behind her, and I was trapped. She reached out, her hand trembling, her eyes locked on mine. "I thought you loved me," she said, her voice breaking, tears welling up in her eyes. My mind was racing, trying to make sense of what was happening. This wasn't the same girl I had met on that first date. This was someone else entirely, someone dangerous, someone unhinged. I had to do something. I couldn't let her get any closer. My eyes darted around the room, looking for anything I could use to defend myself. But before I could act, she lunged at me, her hands reaching for my throat. I reacted on instinct, grabbing the nearest object, a lamp on the side table, and swinging it at her. It connected with a sickening thud, and she staggered back, her eyes wide with shock and pain. I didn't wait to see if she would recover. I bolted for the door, wrenching it open and sprinting out into the hallway. My hands were shaking so badly I could barely dial 911, but somehow I managed. The police arrived within minutes. By the time they got there, Isabella was gone, but they found evidence of her presence. Her phone in the boiler room, fingerprints all over my apartment, and even a small bag she had left behind, filled with personal items. They found her a few hours later, hiding in an alleyway a few blocks from my apartment. She was arrested and charged with stalking, breaking and entering, and assault. It turned out that her real name was Silvana, not Isabella, and she had a history of stalking and mental health issues. The relief I felt when she was taken into custody was overwhelming, but it was tempered by the lingering fear that I hadn't seen the last of her. The police assured me that she would be held accountable, that I was safe, but it didn't feel that way. I moved out of that apartment the next day, breaking my lease and relocating to a different part of the city. I changed my phone number, deleted my dating apps, and did everything I could to put the experience behind me. But the fear never really went away. Every time I heard a creak in my new apartment, every time I noticed something out of place, that cold dread would creep back in, reminding me that I had been watched, that I had been vulnerable.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.